Mickey Big Breakfast Show presents the Glenmidden Chronicles.
After five fraught weeks trying to become the counsellor for Adrossan, the captain and crew are exhausted, but they are still laid up in Adrossan Harbour, waiting to be sent out on relief duties. The money is tight, as is the captain, and the crew are still contemplating on how to get their hands on some more money to give them the security they would like, and also so they don't have to work as hard. Some of them are in the restaurant now. Let's go over and find out what is happening.
I'm astounded the captain didn't get elected. I prayed each night for him and slipped him one of my rosaries.
Well, the power of prayer didn't seem to work. Know that I'm at all surprised your God wasn't here at a time of need. He was probably after the heads of earth for a break.
Scotty, you are such a heathen.
And you're off your head. You can't tell me that God exists.
He does. It's impossible for you or anyone to prove that he doesn't exist. Therefore, he does.
Aye, well, in no case, you can't prove to me that fairies dinna exist, so they do.
Good morning, everyone.
See?
Good morning, Captain. I've done you a bowl of cereal and laid on a roll and sausage for you. Sorry it's a bit squashed.
Yeah, it would be if you laid on it.
Thank you, Maggie, but I'm not really all that hungry.
Och, and they're your favourites too. The ones that snap, crackle and pop.
Captain, could I have them, please? I love the sound they make. It's very clever how they get them to do that.
Yes, Dick, help yourself. Would you like my sausage as well?
It's favouritism. Who come Dick's the one who always gets your sausage? Can I not have it?
Crawford, it's the captain's sausage, and he can do what he wants with it.
You could have the sausage, Crawford. It'll probably be cold by the time these little cereal things have stopped popping and I could eat them.
If you don't mind me saying, you're rather lethargic this morning, Captain.
Ah, Reverend, what would you have a man who has been rejected by the cesspit of humanity?
You mean Adrossan?
Quite. It does a man's confidence no good at all when he's rejected by even the lowest of the low.
But we all still love you, Captain.
Ah, my dear Dick. Always there when you're needed.
No, it's true, Captain. We do all love you. Without you, we wouldn't have a job. Scotty would still be picking his oakum in the local pub. Dick would still be talking to trees at his home. The Eriskine Oys would be in a home. And I'd be back in Cornton Vale serving out another sentence for GPH.
Aye, it's no often she's right, but she is this time. We all owe you a debt of ingratitude, and I, for one, would like to take this opportunity to say we're right behind you. Well, for a distance anyway.
And I don't know what I'd do without all of you. That's the problem. I thought if I became a counsellor, I could maybe use a little creative accountancy with the old expenses and put some money aside for us. But it wasn't to be.
Och, something will turn up, you mark my words. As my old grandmother in Barra used to say, never mistreat a sheep as one day it may owe you money.
Oh, insanity runs in one family.
Well, that was all rather low-key. Let's hope the rest of the episode isn't going to be down, otherwise I may just have to go out and borrow a rope. Maggie and Scotty have got the rest of the crew together to try and come up with a solution to cheer up the captain.
Right, you lot, listen up. Maggie and me have asked you all together here to think up ideas to get McNelson back in form and on his feet. As you all can, he's a bit doon thanks to this godforsaken dump no wanting him as our counsellor. I open up the floor to suggestions.
As leader of the Eriskine Noise, I would like to suggest we do a charity concert. I could go through my diary and get hold of a lot of celebrities. Let me see now. There's Kenneth McKellar, Sir Harry Lauder, Dame Rose Marie, Fran and Anna...
The old beggar. They're all dead. Have you not got anyone in that diary that's still alive?
I think I'm in here somewhere. It doesn't matter. We can call upon the entertainment fraternity to give us a go.
What's he saying?
I said I'll call upon our friends to give us a go.
What?
Give us a go.
No. I said at the time that was a one-off, and only because I needed the cash from a turf accountant.
I swear I'll swing for that deaf old fruitcake.
All right. We have one suggestion so far. Anyone else?
Why don't we write to the Archbishop of Canterbury and see if we can get him canonised?
Oh, no, he wouldn't like that. He said he's glad his parents never got it done.
Why don't we apply for funding?
Funding?
Yes. Seemingly you can get funding for all sorts of projects.
Isn't that the case of my old grandmother in Barra? She put in for the funding when she needed to have her commode upgraded to one with a seat. She wrote to the council and they granted her some vouchers for the B&Q to buy a new seat. And also, she had some money left over and had the commode put on wheels so she could get about even when she was a bit bunged up.
Aye, my father did the same. No way a commode but with the wains. He tell them he couldn't cope, so they sent him a nurse who looked in every morning and night.
Was she any help?
Aye, too much. My father had to marry her. My mother was livid.
Scotty says my family is mad. I think yours beats it by a haggis. Your father was a bigamist.
Free Presbyterian. If you think that's bad, I'm actually my own grandfather.
Who can you be? I've never heard anything as ridiculous.
Listen, when I was about 23, I married a woman who turned out to be a widow. Not only that, but she was the mother of the nurse my father married. That then meant that my dad was my son-in-law, which made my daughter my mother. We then had a bairn, a wee boy, who actually was no my son, but was my father's brother-in-law. That wee boy was also my uncle, but if he was my uncle, then that made him a brother to my stepmother, who was my wife's daughter. My father's wife then had a wee boy, who was my grandchild, because he was my daughter's son. This new makes my wife my mother's mother, which meant that, even though she's my wife, she's also my grandmother. But since I'm married to her, then I'm my own grandfather.
My brain is bursting. I lost you after the first marriage. Does it mean you are two people?
No, it means it's half his head. Who can hold on be right? You and your own grandfather.
Well, no any more. She's dead new.
Can we get back to the idea of funding? I think it's a really good idea. And we can at least send off for the forms you have to fill in. Should we go ahead?
Oh, do your worst.
Maggie gets out her best pen and paper and writes off to the HIE. That stands for Highlands and Islands Enterprise, for those of you who don't know. You will have to remember that acronym to make any sense of the following couple of episodes. Don't worry, I'll keep you right. Now, back to the crew. It has been a week and the news has come from Calmac that they are going to be, once more, on the move.
I've got you all together to tell you that news has come from Calmac and we are going to be once more on the move.
Is there a parrot in the room? I keep hearing things twice.
Yes, we have to go and do relief once again, but this time it's on the Small Isles route, so hopefully no hoodies.
My leg to rum. Can he wait?
When are we leaving? It's just that I'm expecting an important letter, and hopefully it will be here tomorrow morning.
Oh, it's okay, Maggie. We don't sail off until the day after tomorrow. So if anyone has any further business in Ardrossan, you have 48 hours to carry it out.
Scotty, my love, I do hope that letter arrives tomorrow from the HIE.
Have you decided what you're going to be asking for funding for?
Not yet. But I do have a few ideas I'm keeping close to my chest.
Geez, you've got a trunk full of ideas in there. Mind you, might be fun getting to see them.
Scotty!
The ideas, woman.
So, with Scotty after a peep at Maggie's cogitations, we leave the crew to get ready to leave Ardrossan and to go somewhere a little bit more picturesque. I'm glad the scriptwriters have chosen the Small Isles. They hold many memories for me, especially that night on Halival. That was a stiff one. Sorry, where was I? Ah, yes. Will the letter arrive in time? Will Maggie come up with a good idea? Will pills ever be called tablets again? Tune in next week, same time, same channel, for more from the Glen Midden Chronicles.
You have been listening to the Glen Midden Chronicles. Voices supplied in no particular order by John Wilson, Nick Wakeham, Shona Campbell, and John Grundy. The series was devised by John Grundy and written by Nick Wakeham. This has been an Old Mission House production.